What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Who You Got with
Mello
and Brado. You know, it's a sports podcast that we talk about your favorite sports debate, sports highlights, and sports matchups. And thank you guys for joining us. If you guys are watching us right now, please make sure to hit that like button down below. And also, we just want to tell you guys that we got a new Patreon. We want you guys to make sure you go on patreon.com/whoyougotpodcast. Patreon.com/whoyougotpodcast, new thing we got out there. We definitely want you guys to follow it.
Oh, yeah, we got some exclusive content for our top followers. We know that some of you guys have been there from the beginning, so we want to make sure we throw something out there for you guys.
Exactly. A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Also, if you guys want to ask questions on there, we're more than happy to answer some of your favorite sports questions. You know, we definitely got some merch there, too, once you subscribe, so you guys get some of our merch, which is definitely awesome as well. Also, if you guys are listening, following us on any podcast platform, make sure you guys go down below and subscribe. We love that you guys are following us along with on our journey doing this thing, talking about sports, talking about a lot of different debates. So, you know, we definitely want to do something different for you guys this time. Right, Mello?
Oh, yeah. Now that basketball is over, football still has yet to start. And obviously, boxing and UFC don't happen quite as often.
True.
You know, in our summer months, we like to give y'all the who you got. It's basically the real nitty and gritty of us getting into some questions, some debates, just things that we want to talk about, things that's been on the docket for a while, and we finally have time to get out.
Exactly. And this one, I know that this is going to be interesting, not only for sports fans, but also people that love movies. Because what's this week's episode we're doing?
This week we're doing Who You Got Best Fictional Athlete. Obviously, we have some A1 stars when it comes to basketball, football, boxing, all over the cinema. We're talking about classics from the 80s, 90s, new movies that just came out. So we definitely wanted to get thinking, like, well, this is our personal opinions. We did our top three.
Exactly. We did our top three. Literally, we just named off who we like as our top favorite fictional athletes or, you know, sports person that played in the movie or TV show.
Exactly.
Like you said, there's been a lot of sports movies coming out lately, but, you know, there's also a lot that maybe people haven't heard of and maybe haven't really watched, but just the stories are really crazy and really intriguing and amazing. So we definitely wanted to talk about some of these that we actually enjoyed throughout our lifetime.
Oh, for sure. So definitely.
Let's go ahead and why don't we just get into it, you know, the top three. And so I'm going to just name my top three, and then I'm going to give you my third. So my top three are number three, Willie Beeman. You know, any given Sunday. You know, my man Steeman, yes, of course. Sir. Yep. Number two, I got to have Happy Gilmore. My man Happy, of course. From the movie Happy Gilmore, of course. Number one, I got to go with Jesus Shuttleworth. Ooh. Ray Allen, he's got game. So my top three. And my third one, I'm just going to go through Willie Beeman, man.
Oh, yeah.
An amazing movie, Any Given Sunday. I mean, if anyone hasn't seen this movie, it's one of the best football movies honestly. Like,
it is. Al Pacino?
Yep. Al Pacino's out there. Dennis Quaid, you know. Obviously, Jamie Foxx is my man Willie Beeman. Lawrence Taylor's in this movie. Like, you got cameos from Terrell Owens. You got other cameos from NFL players. LL Cool J is a running back in this movie.
And one of the best sports speeches of all time.
Of course, yeah, from Al Pacino, of course, yep, as a coach. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you guys just a little bit about, you know, Any Given Sunday. You know, it was the Miami Sharks. They're an American football team in the AFFA, which is the Associated Football Franchise of America, basically the NFL, fictional NFL. And they're coached by a guy named Tony D'Amato, which is played by Al Pacino. You know, he's the coach. And the owner of the team is Christina Paganici, and she's played by Cameron Diaz.
That's right, yep.
And, you know, she's definitely a, you know, big character in this movie. But, you know, in the beginning of the movie, you see the top quarterback for Miami, who's Jack Cap Rooney, and he's played by Dennis Quaid. You know, he goes down. He's the number one quarterback. This is the first game of the season. Then they have a number two quarterback on that squad, and that same game, he goes down too. So then the Miami Sharks have to go into their third quarterback. And before there was a Lamar Jackson, before there was a Michael Vick. My man Willie Beeman came out there and he lit it up.
Yes,
honestly,
he did.
Like in his first game with the Miami Sharks.
Best dual threat quarterback we've ever seen.
Exactly. Honestly, he really was at the time. You really didn't see it. I mean, other than Warren Moon at the time. Remember, this was 1998 that this movie came out. So, I mean, Mike Vick was just going to come into the league to 1999. And, you know, you didn't have too many running quarterbacks. So right. To see Willie Beeman on the screen, a lot of people know this movie. It was definitely bringing attention to the racial issues with the quarterbacks. You know,
right.
They were saying that most black quarterbacks couldn't play in the NFL back then. Warren Moon definitely changed that up. Then you had guys like Donovan McNabb, like, you know, Mike Culpepper. You had guys that were like... Definitely switching it up a little bit.
Starting to come in
a little bit more, but it wasn't really till Michael Vick that the dual threat really like jumped out.
Oh yeah.
But Willie Beeman did it before that. And his first game when he was playing Miami Sharks, threw a 60-yard touchdown. You know, they were down by 14, so you got him down by 7 and then came back and threw a 42-yard touchdown. And he actually won that first game for them. Obviously, like throughout the movie, there was a lot of ups and downs because once he got that starting position, you know, he started getting a little bit more ego.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't doing that great. They were up and down like towards the season as it was like going on. Then Dennis Quaid, his character, he came back and basically he was done from injury, you know, halfway through the season, close to the end of the season. He was going to be back from injury. And this happens in a lot of NFL teams. You know, you got a bench player that's starting out like most of the season and maybe they're playing like really well. And then that's the question. Do you put your starter back in? And that really reminded me in 2003, it was the Rams. They had Kurt Warner and also Mike Bulger. And Kurt Warner in the first game of the season got injured. Then Mike Bulger came in and he started balling out the whole season. He got him to the playoffs. Yeah, we didn't win a Super Bowl that year. We got to the NFC Championship game, but, you know, they kept Mike Bulger as a starter after that, and they traded over Kurt Warner to Arizona, which it kind of reminds you of this movie. So Dennis Quaid, his character, he sat on the bench again. And, you know, throughout the whole, like, movie, you obviously had Willie trying to prove himself, but nobody really believed in him. You know, once they got to the playoffs, they took Willie out of the game because he made a few bad throws and they got a call down from the owner, which was Cameron Diaz's character.
Right,
she was
right.
Like, Willie, you got to come out. You know, she told the coach, take him out. And they put in Cap back in and... He actually won the game for him. So then the next game, they were wondering if they're going to do this. But Al Pacino's character, he didn't know the championship game, if he was going to start Willie Beeman or not. You know, they made it to the championship game. And he was wondering, am I going to start Willie or am I going to start Dennis? Cat, basically. And he went and he started Willie Beeman. No one did. The owner was going to fire him, was going to fire Al Pacino's character if he didn't start basically the starter.
Right.
So what happened?
You really inch didn't. By inch.
You didn't really see what happened in the championship game because
right.
They cut it. They, you know, that was a cut from the movie, but they cut it afterwards. And this is the craziest part of the movie, which is what happens literally at the end. You know, and the epilogue is like when the Sharks. There's a voiceover, and the Sharks lose the championship game. The Pantheon Cup, it's called, to San Francisco. And Coach D'Amato has a final press conference, Al Pacino. And he says that he's going to thank, you know, the owner. He's thanking all the staff and stuff. And he says a lot of people are thinking he's going to retire. That's his retirement speech. But then he comes out and he drops a bombshell. And he announces that he's been hired as a head coach and a general manager to an expansion team in that league in New Mexico, the Albuquerque Aztecs. And he signed Willie Beeman to be a starting quarterback and franchise player. So even though they didn't win the championship with the Sharks, Willie made it all the way there as a third string quarterback. You know, he was able to like come through a lot of odds where a lot of people didn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to make the team a running team with LL Cool J, but my man got through and then they went on to an expansion team. So that's why he's definitely my number three.
Hey, that's not a bad number three. Definitely balled out. Obviously, like you said, they did lose a championship game.
Right.
But to come from third string to get all those endorsements, clearly
exactly.
That fame that you got from from half a season let you know that he was doing some things.
Yep. He definitely did his thing, you know, and got himself a nice contract in the fictional world, on a new expansion team. Mm-hmm. You know, where obviously the coach did, he was coached by as a general manager, so he's not gonna let go of him.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I definitely messed with that. All right. Yeah. No, that's a fantastic three.
What about you though? Who's like one of your favorite? You know.
Yeah. So I'll give you my top three, and then I'll go into my third. So third place, we got no other than your man, Forrest Gump.
Hey,
you know,
like
Mr.
That.
Shrimp Expert himself. obviously, he played football at University of Albany. He was a beast.
Yep.
Second, definitely agree with you on Jesus Shuttleworth.
Hey,
definitely
nice.
Got to be up there. You got him first. I got him second. So same thing, you know, prior to Coney Island. Obviously, they let his damn father out of prison to convince him to go to a school. So clearly, he was pulling some strings.
He's pulling a lot of strings, right? I mean, it was literally before LeBron James.
Exactly. That was LeBron James before LeBron James, basically, when it comes to that type of fame coming right out of high school. Mm-hmm. And then first, I have to give it to Rocky Balboa, pretty much the best boxer of all the sports movie. When you go through what six movies, not including the Creed, when you basically only the ones he fought, my man was still fighting within his 60s. You know, knocking out world champions. You know, all of it started off where he had no eyes to even do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
He was just trying to make some money. Mm-hmm. So those are my top three.
I love those. Yeah,
but definitely I got to start off with the. Forrest Gump, my third place winner.
Hey.
We are talking about 6 foot, 195 pounds. I'll be honest, I don't know how they have these stats.
found them somewhere.
Yeah. But wait, you're going to hear it. Listen. 4.28, 40-yard dash.
Ooh.
4.1, 20-yard shuffle.
Ooh.
7.1, three-cone drill. What a 29.5 jump. And a 10'6" broad jump, and he bench pressed 21 reps.
Is that humanly possible? Like the 40, especially like damn.
Yes, it is. You know why? Because you got to remember when he first got the attention of the coach, he was standing next to the quarterback when a quarterback threw the ball, and he caught up to the ball and the receiver at the same time.
That's true.
That man was fast.
He was fast, bro.
We are talking about. At the end of his career, which was surprisingly 5 years.
Short career, but.
No, five.
Yeah.
Because he basically couldn't get through that academics in 3 to 4. So he ended up being an All-American punt returner. And if you remember, he actually met the president. And that was because of his football, his gridiron game. Damn. You know, so we're talking about someone who also was a world punt champion. And a shrimp extraordinaire. Like, so it's funny because I actually looked up stats. Like, it's obviously so many. This movie didn't give you no stats, like, at all. This wasn't even worried about football. Like, the story was about Forrest. You know
Great
what I mean?
Story, too.
No, fantastic story. That's what I said. I wanted to throw in. You know, they showed that he was an All American punt returner. He met the damn president, and he was a world class punt champion. So, like, at the end of the day, they made sure to let you know that he was athletic and prolific.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, like, obviously, like, I'm leaving out the most important part of why this makes it so amazing. The damn kid was in braces for most of his life.
True.
And pretty much couldn't even barely walk, and all of a sudden kicked them braces off and became the fastest human known to Earth. I'll be honest, like, I think at this point, he could have been an Olympic sprinter. Usain Bolt would have lost.
Mm. See, I mean, I'll be honest, like, because when you watch the rest of the movie, you see that, you know, he's more of a cross-country
runner, that's what I'm saying.
I see him as more of a long-distance
You know what?
Runner.
That long, you're right. That you know? Long distance, he probably... And that's
but,
a crazy thing,
But that's
thing
what I was
too.
Saying, those 40 the stats you gave me, the 40, I was like, damn, like, he could be Usain Bolt.
You know, he's fast. I'm saying, like, not only is he fast, clearly short distance, like you say, he could run until his feet fall off, because he basically have some sort of disconnection between the bottom half of his waist to the rest of his body, because it just moves a lot faster and a lot longer than humanly possible. So for me, just having someone like that, like I said, obviously not having the legs as a youth, breaking through, getting to, at the end of the day, fiction or not, University of Alabama is University of Alabama.
True that, man. So, best football university
exactly,
out there.
Exactly. So this is just the fact that they even threw that in the film. You know, like, that's to say, they were very subtle about his football prowess, but they did a good job of letting you know that he was pretty much the best at what he did.
Yeah.
And so that's why I got him as my number three. We're talking about All-American Forrest Gump.
Beautiful. And I mean, even after that, like you said, he went cross country, like literally cross country running. Mm-hmm. He went the whole country, like ran the whole country, which is crazy. You know, amazing movie, honestly.
And then became rich. Filthy rich.
Filthy rich. Like great movie and great story. Hulk. Like literally great story. Another like honestly great story, because that was like a pretty happy story, I would say. Like, you know,
I mean, somewhat. I mean,
I know a lot of like the middle of it was.
We could have done without Jenny.
Everyone says that, you know, after that movie. They say,
"What do you think?" She don't play my man.
I know. Finessed them. But finessed them. For real. But, I mean, it was happy in parts.
Right.
But speaking of happy, like, my number two.
Happy.
I got to go with Happy from Happy Gilmore. My man Adam Sandler, like, he comes out with a lot of great sports movies. Just most recently, obviously, he came out with Hustler.
Oh, man.
Great movie, Hustler.
Fantastic.
Willie Hermangonez was the...
I don't know why Bo Cruz wasn't on the Celtics. Like, we needed him in the finals.
Right. Bo, I mean, you guys might have a chance now because, you know, he did get a wave, so... Yeah, you don't want him no more. You want the fictional version of him, don't you?
We want Bo.
I want Bo, yeah.
Not Wancho.
But anyways, like, you know, my man Adam Sandler makes those amazing sports movies. I mean, obviously he had The Waterboy as well, which is another one. But Happy Gilmore was literally one of the best roles that I've seen him play. First of all, like, it wasn't realistic, because this movie is semi-realistic. Like, you got a hockey player who doesn't have, like, many skills other than fighting. You know, he's more of a brawler in hockey, Happy Gilmore. That's how the movie started out. And he does have a hard slap shot. He had a failed year in hockey. He didn't get re-signed the next year. So when he got his house was getting repossessed, all stuff was getting moved out, and he had to pay like taxes to the IRS of $270,000 for his grandma. You know, so a lot of the stuff was getting out of the house. There were some golf clubs out there the movers were just playing with. They were shooting some balls. And Happy was like, he made him a bet. He was like, if I can hit it farther than you, bet me $40. Let me keep the clubs, because they were his grandfather's clubs. So he bet him, and my man Happy Gilmore hit a 400-yarder, 400-yard drive, and they were all astonished. He hit a car, like, on the other side
of
San Fran. But he had 90 days to pay the taxes. Sorry, the grandma did, but obviously Happy didn't want the house to get repossessed. It was a house that he obviously grew up in, but, you know. Then Happy Gilmore, he went on, and he started going to driving ranges, and he started hustling. He started hustling out there, trying to make money from the driving ranges. People, you know, was telling him, like, oh, you want to go against me? Who can hit it better to drive? So he was making a little bit of money. And when he was at one of the driving ranges, this is where Happy Gilmore, he met a guy named Chubbs Peterson. And Chubbs Peterson was a club pro. He was a former tour star. And he urged Happy to get in, like, a local tournament, you know, so he can possibly get into a professional golf tournament. And, you know, Happy, he had to accept because he was looking for money. You know, he's not making money from hockey. He's not making money anywhere else. He's hustling a little bit here and there. But the only way to make big bucks is to at least, like, try to golf for golf. And have Chubbs help him out. So he told him about the prize money. Chubbs did. And Happy goes into the local tournament. He wins that local tournament. Then he gets on the spot on the tour. When he gets on the tour, nobody really likes him because he's obviously the oddball. He wears hockey jerseys. He goes in and he runs and then hits his drive. He has the longest drive in the PGA at 412 yards. Crazy powerful drive. He doesn't have golf etiquette though, so obviously a lot of people are hating on him. And his nemesis, he meets his nemesis on the tour, Shooter McGavin. Shooter! Obviously Shooter's like he's honestly like a Phil Mickelson type, if you think about it. He's like a Phil Mickelson except more like a dick, like he said. But Shooter, he knows like that he's like one of the best. He wants to keep winning, and he doesn't want the spotlight to come away from him. You know, Happy Gilmore gets a lot more spotlight. He starts getting tournament event wins, like the Pepsi Pro-Am event. He wins he plays poorly first. Shooter hires the heckler, you know, to heckle Happy, but he still wins the event. And before he wins the event, he actually pushes the heckler down, and he gets fined $25,000. They're telling him that he might be jeopardized of being suspended.
Right.
After this, you know, He has his outburst. He talks to the general manager of the tour, and she's the romantic lead in the movie. And, you know, they're definitely having their little thing, and that's why he has a little bit of pull. He's able to get back into the tour. Happy meets Shooter, and he's like, if you let me back on the tour, and I win the next tournament, then I'm gonna get my grandmother's house. Now let me bring it back. There was an auction on his grandma's house.
That's right.
And Shooter McGavin, of course, he's gonna go there and try to buy Happy Gilmore's grandma's house.
Like a dick.
Like a dick that he is. But obviously, when the auction happened, they made that deal that if Happy wins the tournament, he gets the house, and Shooter's gonna give it back to him. And if Shooter wins the tournament, then Happy is gonna have to not play golf ever again. So the tournament happens. He seeks out Chubbs, who's gonna help him out, improve his practice, like his short game. And they go out to like a mini golf tour, or like a little mini golf place. And they're playing a little bit of golf. He's teaching them some stuff, and Happy actually like starts to learn how to putt. He uses a different type of putter, a hockey putter.
Right.
They get back to the apartment, at Chubbs' apartment, and Happy Gilmore gives Chubbs a present. Now, Chubbs, when he was younger, he had his arm bitten by an alligator. And what does Happy give him? He gives Chubbs the alligator head that bit his arm off. Chubbs looks at it. He falls backwards. There's a window behind him, and he falls off the window and dies.
Mm-mm.
Of course, then, like, they go to the... So, obviously, it's a little comedic and a little sad as well.
Right.
But, I mean, Happy's thinking about that. Like, damn, Chubbs died for me. So, at the tour championships, you know, his grandmother's there. She's watching him. Happy's, like, having a tough time. You know, he's not winning. He's not doing that well in the middle, the first nine holes. Then he's, like, his grandma tells him, think of a happy place. Think of a happy place. And he starts thinking of Chubbs with his hand playing piano and his grandma, you know, like, hanging out with money around her and stuff. So then he comes out, and in the last tour tournament, he gets 4 birdies in a row.
Mm.
Obviously, the last one, hole 18, the TV tower comes down onto the putting range. Obviously, if this was real golf, they would stop the tournament.
100%.
But obviously, it's a movie, so Happy's got to hit it. To the golf rules, they say there's golf rules.
The best shot ever.
Craziest shot I've ever seen. Bounced it off of, like, a few bars. Got it off, like, swing down the golf. And the golf ball went right in, kind of like he was playing miniature golf. And that miniature golf helped him. He won the tournament. He won the house back for his grandma. And Happy Gilmore literally was able to beat.
Happy Winmore.
Happy Winmore. He literally won more. But, I mean, he got the gold jacket in the first year, which is basically like the Masters tournament. That's why I look at him as one of the best sports figures. He also won the tour championship in the first full season, which is hard to do because that means he won multiple, you know, events during the season. He has a 412-yard drive, which is the most in fictional PGA history. So that's why I got him as my number two.
Hey, no, that's a fantastic choice. Obviously, for someone coming with no golfing skill whatsoever to do all that in his first year and obviously take down what was the Golden Boy.
Right.
100%.
Shooter. 100%.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely prolific. Prolific athlete.
Right? Not bad.
I'll definitely take it.
What about you, though? Number two.
Yeah, my number two is going to have to be your number one.
Ooh.
Which is Jesus Shuttleworth. And obviously,
I love that.
We're talking about the pride of Lincoln High and Coney Island. So like I said, back when this movie came out, pretty much, like, obviously everyone loved MJ, everyone loved Kobe.
Yeah.
But there has never, ever been, and this is real life, there has never been a kid that came out of high school with the expectations that LeBron James in real life had to face when he was 16 years old.
Yeah.
Except for Jesus Shuttleworth.
Yeah.
Basically. And it was worse for him because we're talking about a kid who loved playing basketball, grew up with some skills, obviously getting an argument with his dad, ended up getting a little feisty over dinner. His mom ended up getting into it. His dad accidentally kills his mom.
Yeah.
Wasn't really a push, but accidental shove. He goes to prison. Jesus and his little sister move in with their aunt. Hmm. So at this point, his dad, I think Jake's in prison still. He's going to Lincoln High, and now we're talking about Lincoln High, who produced Stephon Marbury, Sebastian Teflair, and Lance Stephenson.
Yeah, and Sebastian Telfer was also a high school, like, All-American who went to the NBA from high school.
Exactly. So already just letting you know, fictional or not, this is a school he went to. Mm-hmm. That's already a top-notch NBA talent school.
Exactly.
So after that, he gets to the point where he's in his senior year. They're trying to figure out where he's going. He has a couple options. The state school.
Big state.
You know, they didn't make no reference to what school. Nah, you know, but clearly that's a top school to go to.
Right.
And just
if you would guess, what would you say? Like, what? Ohio State, UCLA, like Texas. I don't know. What would you
say? That's Duke right there.
Duke, yeah. I was thinking a little bit small, but big state, yeah. Because no, it was like state. It wasn't like, yeah.
The reason why it's Duke is because you got your warden of a prison allowing a murderer out on work release to convince his son to sign with Big State. That's Duke all the way. That's Duke crazy. All the way. That's that blue collar bullshit.
You know what though? There was a part of the movie where Jesus went to he went to go see the school and he saw some of the players that were playing on Big State with prostitutes there, right?
Oh yeah, and you remember having a threesome.
Yeah, and if you remember years later, obviously Louisville had that scandal. Yep. So honestly it could have been Louisville. They might have known something. It was two or three years right before that scandal happened, which is crazy.
No, that's a fact. So either way, we got a couple good ideas of what school they were going for there.
That's funny.
But yeah, obviously, when it comes to the skills he have, and I actually don't have these stats. I hope you do. He obviously played the one-on-one game with his dad.
Yeah.
Which was a good game. And then obviously his high school game, just kind of showcasing his talent as to why these top schools are recruiting. But like I said, we're talking about a man who got his dad released on a work release to get him convinced to go down to school. We got multiple different people. Basically, you got a whole prison warden, which means you got multiple different organizations trying to bribe you to go to their schools.
Yep.
And like I said, we got one of the top prospects at this point was probably the closest thing, if not better, than LeBron when it came to the hype. And technically, if we're really thinking about it, if you really looked at the few little clips they showed you, he had way less talent than LeBron had in high school.
So, yeah, well, I mean, he didn't have the body style LeBron had. He was
with scrubs. LeBron was walking through everyone dunking. My man Jesus was straight mixing and matching and just killing everybody.
But you know what, though? Like, it was realistic because, honestly, Ray Allen, who played Jesus Shuttleworth, he's not a dunker. He's not, like, that type of body style. He's a shooter. You know, he's known for being, like, one of the top shooters in the NBA, in the all-time NBA. So they had to kind of style it around him. But I'm just going to give you a little quick something that a lot of people don't know, though. So Spike Lee, when he was directing this movie, he actually offered the role first to Kobe and Tracy McGrady. Yeah. Before he offered it to Ray Allen.
He wanted the stars. Yeah.
But Ray Allen was just coming in. He was obviously he was still like one of the top players in NBA. I would say he was like fourth or fifth top best player.
That's before he was a shooter. He was actually still dunking on the Sonics.
He definitely was. You know, he was doing his thing. And like you said, man, like the one thing I want to talk about a little bit is that one-on-one game that Denzel and, Jake Shuttleworth and Jesus Shuttleworth had against each other, when he came back. In the movie, it was supposed to, like, the director had it being an 11-0 game. That's what the director wanted. He was like, I want you to beat, you know, I want Jesus to beat Jake 11-0. Basically, the son to beat the dad 11-0. But while they were actually filming, because they were filming live, and they weren't just, you know, playing around filming. They were really filming, playing basketball, Denzel versus Ray Allen. Denzel came out and he scored 5 on Ray Allen, and the acting coach came up to Ray Allen and she was like, why are you letting them score? And he was like, look, it's basketball. I'm not gonna know, like, if he shoots it and the ball goes in, like, that's what happens sometimes. Like, you can't, like, intentionally miss sometimes, you know.
Right.
And so technically it was 11-5, but in the movie they only showed it being 11-1. Denzel only scored 1 point in the movie, but that's just like a little,
we
like,
see
thing,
you, Denzel.
Right? I know you scored 5 on my man. Like, damn.
Ray Allen, you a scrub.
Hey, I don't know about that.
Nah, I'm just
but
lying.
That just means that Denzel was on that level at that point. And obviously, like, in that high school game that he had that they showed, he balled out. Jesus Shuttleworth went in and he had a 10 for 17 with 32 points. Mm. That's really the only like stats that you saw from him.
Yeah, right, right.
But honestly, like, you know, he, like you said, he was going through so much stuff before the high school player was even known. I mean, obviously Kobe was a high school player, but he wasn't really a top pick, you know. Obviously guys like Sebastian Telfair, he was like a high school player as well, but he wasn't really a top pick. It wasn't until like LeBron and Dwight Howard that you really saw high school kids.
Howard, cause
I mean, Howard was on the same hype, but he was a high school player that went first overall.
100%.
You know, he went first overall.
Basically, like I said, like that hype that they was giving Jesus is pretty much like is LeBron and Zion level.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely LeBron level. And there was actually like even a few players that he was playing against. Like, I mean, like there was actual like NBA talent that he was going against. Allen Houston was one of the guys, like, you know, there was actually, like, crazy talent that he was going against in this movie. So it wasn't, like, the one thing that I heard Spike Lee talk about in an interview, he was like, we made sure that we had him run live basketball. Like, this was not just, you know, fake basketball. Like, they ran live games, and they just filmed out of that.
Right.
Whatever happens in the game, they were just going to film. Like, obviously, they stacked Jesus Shuttleworth's theme so then he can win certain games, and that's how they stacked it, but that's what Spike Lee wanted. He wanted to make sure that it was obviously, you know, a realistic type of feel, which honestly it was probably one of the most realistic basketball movies to me.
I see why you got him number one. Jesus Shuttleworth will go down as probably one of the best or the best fictional basketball player of all time.
He really is. Right. I mean, there's really no one else. And in the end of the movie, you kind of saw that Denzel, which is Jake Shuttleworth, his dad, he did the right thing. You know, he didn't sell out and made his son go to a certain college because obviously at the end of the movie, you saw Denzel was in prison again. And, you know, there was a big state court where Jesus was practicing alone. So
right.
It was a good message at the end that Denzel did the right thing. He didn't sell out for the governor or anything. But like you said, I think that Jesus Shuttleworth was definitely one of the best basketball, you know, movies and basketball players. Fiction.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Definitely got him my number one. I think that he definitely deserves, especially for a basketball movie. But what about you, though? Who you got for number one on yours? You said, I heard it. I want to hear a little bit more about it.
So for me, it's just not even a number one. My man's a GOAT when it comes to fictional athletes. We are talking about 190-pound cruiserweight at 5'11".
Hey.
Southpaw stance, that's what he was famous for. 81 fights, 57 wins, 51 knockouts, 23 losses, and one draw. So like I said, this man started off just trying to feed the family. He really didn't take boxing too serious, but he always did have a, you know, little power. So in the first movie, you start off with Creed being the, I think, heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
It was a cruiserweight. No, it was heavyweight.
Heavyweight.
Yes.
They were heavyweights.
Yeah, because he lost the first one. Yes. So basically, Creed was a heavyweight champion, was supposed to just fight like a random nobody. And then the person who he's supposed to fight couldn't fight. So he just called it out like, hey, anyone want to fight? Obviously, most of Rocky's trainers are like, no, you know, Mickey's telling him no, but Rocky wants the money, and Creed ended up picking him because he likes the name Italian Stallion. The only reason why he picked him. So obviously, Creed don't really take it serious. They get into the match, but pretty much in the first round, right off the jump, Creed gets knocked down for the first time in his career. So at that point, he realizes Rocky ain't no one to mess with. So good fight, back and forth. Obviously, Rocky gets knocked down a couple times. Keeps getting back up, pretty much sledgehammer for arm, throwing a lot of cannons. And obviously, Creed is pretty much hitting him with the same thing back. Mm. Talking about the heavyweight champion here. Up to the 14th round, Rocky's barely managing on. Gets to the 15th round. And somehow Rocky comes back with that second, or at this point, the fifth wind of heart, you know, pretty much in the 15th to just pummel Creed at the end, but still lost by decision.
Yeah.
Right, but it was a good showing. Crazy fight though, yeah. Exactly, it was a good showing. Both of them were respectable of each other.
Right.
Everyone in the world, including Creed, realized that Rocky wasn't no one to play with. And then they both 100% agreed, this is it. No rematch or anything. Like, this was good. Like, that was dope. Nice. Then we get to the second one. Pretty much, don't know how, I forgot how it happened.
Ivan, right?
No, oh, no. Ivan, this is that. Creed again. This is Creed 2. Yeah. Creed, yeah, so yeah. The second one, I forgot what happened, but Creed, I think, decides that he wants to fight Rocky again. That's what it was, mm-hmm. Yes. Creed wanted to back out of the promise of no rematch and say he wants to fight mm-hmm. Rocky again. Rocky didn't really want to, but at the end of the day, Rocky always come down to, I need the money. You know, my man's tired of working in the damn meat shop, you know? So, of course, he decides to fight Creed again. But this time, Rocky takes serious training a lot more serious. Mm-hmm. Mickey's really into him about you got to have the passion. You know, you got to have the... Because he felt like even though he won the first one, he didn't really... Like, it's always a theme of Rocky of fighting for the right reasons.
True.
And, you know, fighting for money, well, to me, is the right reason. That wasn't the right reason in these movies. That wasn't part of the concept.
That's
you need
true,
to
though.
Fight for the family, for the
exactly,
you know,
for
so,
your name.
Exactly.
You know,
so
you fight for your name,
Creed,
Rocky name.
Him fighting Creed the first movie was just for money, and so that's why they really switched up the training in the second movie. And pretty much when it got to the second movie, he was well more prepared and was able to do a lot more. 15 rounds again. Obviously, both of them falling to the canvas a couple times. Both of them got hit at the same time and was struggling to get up. The ref is counting 10 count. And at that point, Rocky's the only one that seems to be able to even barely walk.
True,
so they gave him the win. And in a huge upset, which at this point in this fictional world is probably the hugest upset of all time.
I was going to say.
Rocky becomes heavyweight champion.
Yep. So biggest upset in like, in history of any boxing match, honestly.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. So for the next 3 years, 10 defense fights, Rocky's actually getting rich, getting money, getting fame, best heavyweight boxer in the world, enjoying his time. Mm-hmm. At that point, theme of the movie, Rocky's getting a little too comfortable, not fighting for the right reasons. Power, hungry, speed, athleticism. In comes Mr. T.
Hey.
And what was his name? James Clubber Lang.
Yep.
So Mr. T comes in. Obviously, Rocky's mind is not fully set. During the pre-fight, they get into a scuffle backstage, and Mickey has a heart attack. Rocky didn't want to fight. The rest of the team wanted Rocky to fight. He didn't really like that.
I mean, he was heartbroken, bro.
He didn't really like that. He wasn't able to concentrate during the fight and end up losing. Went to the hospital to try to get to talk to Mickey. Mickey ended up dying. Mm-hmm. So he was not happy about that. Obviously, he puts his doubts behind him. You know, I don't want to fight again. You know, blah, blah, blah. The right reasons come around. He gets his head back in the game.
Yep.
Starts looking like back when he was fighting Creed when it comes to the training and the getting yourself ready in the regiment and stuff. And pretty much wins the rematch against Lang, taking his best blows, obviously, in Rocky fashion.
Right.
You know, eating up all those punches, but obviously delivering it back and eventually regaining the heavyweight title.
That's one thing he's known for, though, is getting punched and eating those up.
Pretty much. That's his whole life.
And he regained that title, which is amazing.
Yep, got it back. So a big reason why he actually got back into the ring, which was a big part of that movie, was Creed. Yeah. Creed and him became good friends after that.
Yep.
And Creed actually convinced him, like, he basically said, like, you need that power you had when you fought me. So Creed
had that power, like, literally. Adonis exactly. Creed, he had that big power.
So he knew that he needed to bring what he brought to the table against him, against Slugger. So that was a big reason why he won. So then we get on to the next movie, because there was like six of them. Next movie, Adonis Creed, still fighting. Rocky is his trainer now. Creed's not really taking his fighting serious and ends up getting into a fight with a Russian monster named Ivan Drago. Obviously, we all know how that ends. Creed dies. Rocky feels 100% responsible.
Yeah.
Rocky
told him to go out there and fight too.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And he told him to go out there and fight.
So Rocky ends up Like, no one's really going to just let him fight Drago out of nowhere.
Right.
So he ends up having to pretty much get the one belt, or the heavyweight belt, the one, basically the American belt, just to relinquish it. Because he didn't want to fight. Like, I don't even know how that worked, because that was so weird to me. I don't know if he had the belt or not, but he was training. That's the one plot hole I didn't understand.
I thought it was because he couldn't have, at that time, or in that world, he couldn't have two belts at once or something. He couldn't hold both belts at once, something like that, so he had to relinquish one.
But how was he training another fighter when he had a belt?
Right.
That's the part, because the movie starts off with him training, being in Creed's corner.
Rocky IV, you're right, in the beginning.
And that's what that's a plot twist I don't get. Yes. I don't know if he always had the belt or if he had to get the belt again. I'll be honest. Obviously, we didn't watch these movies so I'm not sure if that's something I missed.
I mean, in the end of the movies, remember,
he had to relinquish the belt so he can go train and then go fight Ivan over there. But still, technically, he had to relinquish the heavyweight belt. Yeah. I don't know how all that came about.
But well, notice how, like, they don't show too many fights during the movies, but, like, at the end of the movie, during the credits, they always, like, have, like, little, like, writing at the end, of, like, oh, he won the next, like, few fights or blah, 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 or, like, he lost the next
one. Exactly. Like, something happened, and he ended up getting the belt, having to relinquish it so he can go train.
Right.
Obviously, gets back in there, goes up against Drago. Right off rip, upper hand is clearly Drago. Whooping Rocky's ass. It's not even close. Drago's obviously cutting him up. Rocky, like, obviously take the punishment, but this time it's like his face is really getting beat up. He can't see. You know, looking like that, you know, it's pretty bad. Back and forth. Obviously, he is in the Soviet Union. So at that point, he's basically Drago's the person that's getting all the crowd love and everything like that.
Yeah.
Pretty much, once the fight gets on, the crowd starts cheering for Rocky because they start to see that he really is withstanding it. Drago's getting a little sluggish. He's getting tired. And obviously, Rocky's always hitting back.
And he's definitely the underdog in that fight, too. Rocky is.
100%. But at the end of the day, it came to standing with determination and heart. And obviously, Rocky had that. And even though Drago was heavily favored, of course, here comes Rocky in the 15th round. every time is in the 15th round.
Back in the day when they had
Rocky, exactly. Here comes Rocky with the win. So at that point, beats the world heavyweight champion.
Yep.
You know, the best fighter in the world.
And honestly, some would consider, in the fictional land of like sports characters, some consider Ivan Drago the second best boxing, like,
of all time.
Like, fictional character of all time.
For sure.
Rocky, Ivan Drago, and then Creed.
And then Creed, 100%.
I'm talking about Apollo Creed.
Papa Creed.
Adonis Creed, fourth.
Yeah. And then technically, you got to put Drago's son fifth.
Yeah. But he only had one movie, so maybe if he gets another one.
Right, no, for sure. Yeah. If they give him another one. And I think they were doing that. Mm. I heard that, like, I think they were doing something about Drago's side of it.
Ooh.
We're like, yeah. I would love that. That's interesting.
Because what's crazy? I mean, obviously, in the 90s, they had Ivan Drago as the stereotypical, you know, Russian communist type. So he was supposed to be the villain, you know. But, like, this Drago, he's like a pretty boy. You know, he's like a young kid. You know,
his parents are still politically influenced. So, like, exactly. I really think someone mentioned a very slight, you know, that I may have read it somewhere. You know, people just fandom, they just be talking.
That'd
so I don't know if
that,
but I would
Yo,
love
if
to
you
see
guys
that.
Know about any of that. If you guys know
let
about
us know,
new, yeah,
because I would
Drago
love
movie.
To know if that's real.
Yeah, for sure.
Or if that's even in the works, for sure.
I definitely want to know about that. That's interesting.
Yeah, so obviously, now we got Rocky. He's actually old now.
Yeah,
he's retired.
Getting older.
Once again in his 60s.
What, like 15 years later, pretty much?
Yes. The man needs money again.
And who does he find in the gym?
And I don't understand how this keeps happening, because, like, you shouldn't even be allowed. Oh, that's right. He wasn't supposed to be allowed to fight because they found the brain. They found all the damage.
Basically CTE, pretty much.
Yes, exactly.
Pretty much CTE. He had, like, concussions and stuff. Too many concussions. Couldn't fight anymore.
No, definitely. So at this point, actually, I'm thinking, is this before?
This is right at Creed. After Now you're thinking, after Rocky IV, now you're going to Creed. You're going into Creed 1
because I'm thinking
Apollo Creed.
Because I'm trying to think if Rocky, the one that came out in 2006, it was called Rocky Balboa.
Right.
that's when we came back to the front. I think that's the one where he fought Dixon.
Yep. Yes.
And
yes,
Dixon was right. just fast as... Okay, that's
story
okay.
of Rocky Balboa.
So, yeah. So, that's Rocky Balboa. He came mm-hmm. back, fought Dixon. Clearly retired.
Yep.
Dixon's washing him up. Speed is ridiculous. Like, unmatched. But, unfortunately for Dixon, he breaks his hand in the fight, which forces him to slow down, not throw so many shots at once. And at that point, that evens the playing field for Rocky.
All right.
And all right. able for him to mount a comeback. So, pretty much another... And it's so funny because he's honestly considered the greatest boxer of all time when it comes to fictional characters. But, like, this fight, and, like, it happens actually a lot, he gets beat up. First couple rounds, not even close. He comes back. It becomes very close.
Yeah.
He still lost by split decision.
That's what I was going to say.
But, like I said, 60-something years old, fighting a young champion.
Right.
You know, yeah, the champion broke his hand, which, like... Right. Not even close. If he didn't break his hand, Rocky would. This wouldn't have been the movie we wanted
right,
it to be.
Right, right.
Like, if he didn't break his hand, I don't care what you write.
I know.
Rocky's
he's not winning that fight.
Yeah,
but you know what? That's the crazy thing about Rocky, because it's not necessarily always about winning. Because, you know,
and it isn't.
If you look at the actual fights that they had, like, my man lost a lot of fights in the actual films, but, like, you know.
Like, and yeah, just like his told his son in that movie, life's about another fantastic speech.
Speech.
I'm so glad we had both Any Given Sunday. I didn't even think about that when we did our picks.
Right.
That two of the greatest speeches of all time are in both those movies. Yeah.
That's true.
It's not about getting knocked down. It's about how you get up.
Get back up.
It's about getting back up. And that was a main, because that was the one he was having problems with his son.
Yep.
And, like, obviously he's old as hell, so his son didn't want to fight. I'm pretty sure Adrian was already dead at this point. Yep. So, like, you know, Mickey's dead. He really has no one.
That was in Rocky 3, yeah.
Exactly. So this was a good movie. Like I said, it showed that he still had the heart. And like I said, it's all about getting knocked down but getting back up. It don't matter how many times. If you get knocked down 6 times, get up 7, and that's it.
That's right.
So that's why that's my top sports athlete of all time, because it's not just, like I said, like you said, it wasn't about winning or losing. For that, like, it was always about the values when it comes to Rocky. And he used those values, that heart, that determination, to always come out on top.
I mean, Rocky...
When skill couldn't take him. Skill couldn't take him to places he went.
Exactly. And Rocky will forever, for me, be like an underdog story. Mm-hmm. Like, the underdog comes out and literally does something. It's the underdog story. You know, other than, like, any other... Yeah, I think it's the biggest underdog story ever. And obviously, like, heavyweight champion. Like, yeah, the record is there. Like, even his fictional record is there, but... Like we both said, in the actual movies, you saw him lose a lot of times, but it's literally how he got back up. Like, sometimes at the end of the movie, it was a loss, and you came out of that movie.
You know, it's a happy feeling.
You're like, damn, but you know how much heart he showed? Like, he wasn't supposed to win, but, you know, he actually, like, stayed in there the whole fight. You know, like, there's stuff like that that just shows you, like, the heart determination of a guy that has a chip on his shoulder that's trying to, like, become a champion.
For sure, for sure.
So, definitely, like... I got to give it to you. I mean, like, I think he could be, like, a top sports person of all, like, fictional sports person of all time. He could be, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. That's honestly why I got him as my number one.
Yeah.
He's my GOAT, 100%.
That's a good one. You know, I'm going to give, you know, because my top three, I'll just give them again. I obviously had Willie Beaman from Any Given Sunday. I had Happy from Happy Gilmore. And obviously Jesus Shuttleworth from He's Got Game. But, you know, since we were talking about, like, because Rocky Balboa technically is a fictional person, but there is an old Rocky Balboa that was real.
Right.
So if I was to just, like, add on just a little tidbit on these fictional characters, there was a guy that played himself, but it was a fictional character, and he came in and he saved the Looney Tunes by the name Michael Jordan, playing Michael Jordan in Space Jam number 1. You know, my man was dunking from half court, like, shooting, making everything. Come on now. Had stretch arms,
no,
was fast as hell.
I will give that to him because I gotta, he had to play, there, like, 14-plus seasons in the NBA just to even prepare for that role. Everyone else did it just right off the rip. No training or nothing. He had to go win 6 championships just to be ready for Space Jam. Nah. That's underqualified.
He wasn't going to be able to dunk from half court if he didn't do that.
Underqualified.
He wasn't going to be able to dunk from half court if he didn't do that. I just had to.
I mean,
that
technically, he did save the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Literally saved the universe. Got his children back from the.
It's crazy, though, because somebody else did that again recently.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. But did he save it, or was it his son that came in on his team and then he saved it? Because remember, he was playing against his son. But the last few minutes, he was like, yo, his son stopped playing. He was like,
his man I'm not said playing his no son.
So really, LeBron's son won.
What you mean? Yo, I seen Daffy Duck putting in work. It was that secret stuff.
True, true.
That secret stuff.
But whose secret stuff was it? Mike's secret stuff. Mike's secret stuff. Facts. But honestly, like, if we go, like, into fictional characters, there's so many we can name. There's definitely a lot that we definitely didn't even name.
Oh, yeah.
Like we even said before, like, Happy Gilmore is an, I'm sorry, not Happy Gilmore. You got,
Waterboy?
From Waterboy, yeah. You got so many. Radio, if you can even, like, call him.
One
like,
of mine's was going to be, Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah, yeah, Millie. Yeah, that was definitely a that's a great one as well. Like, yes, there's so many.
She was a great
and
fighter.
Of course, if you guys have any that you like,
yes,
please
let us know your top athletes, fictional top athlete. Jesus,
say try that one more time.
Fictional athletes, please let us know, because Lord knows I can't say that again. So just write it down in the comments. Let us know. Obviously, we're gonna be dropping the links in the video, so wherever you hear us, you know, you see it on social media, let us know who your top athletes are, man. We definitely want to hear what everyone else thinks.
That's right, and we really appreciate you guys watching this episode. And if you guys are, you know, watching us, make sure you go ahead and like the video below. And also, we have a Patreon. If you guys want to go ahead and check out our Patreon, Patreon.com/WhoYaGotPodcast. Also, you can check us out on social media, on Facebook, Who You Got Sports Podcast. We're also on Twitter, Who You Got Pod. Instagram, man. TikTok, you know where you can find us. Just Google us.
And if you
us,
can't find
much.
Us somewhere, let us know. We'll make it.
Basically. And but we definitely enjoy you guys staying with us on this episode. And we're going to give you more content like this if you guys want. You know, this was a different episode that we're giving, because we definitely want to give our input on, like, anything that's dealing with sports, pretty much.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, this is definitely an interesting topic. So
yeah, that's what we're here for, all things sports related. Like I said, obviously, NBA season's off. Even though summer leagues are already starting, right? Like, it's already there. Draft already happened. NFL starting to pick up, so obviously we'll be back there. But we got it a couple months to give you all these topics that we know you guys want to hear. So right. Don't have to be related to actual in-the-season sports. We're just going to talk to sports, and we're definitely going to give you all the content you love.
Of course. If you guys got anything else that you'd like to see us, you know, give you, you know, any other topics, let us know below.
Yes,
and
sir.
Again, thank you guys for watching this episode of Who You Got with
Mello
and Rado. We'll see you guys next time.
Peace.